Coming up on today's show...
When we're sharing the faith, it's important that we start with love and end with love. If you can just, within your own self, find that you really care about someone and that you also care about yourself and that you certainly love God, then you'd be willing to talk about things as beautifully and as true as possible.
Peace be with you. I have a giveaway this week. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website, as I hope you know by now, is catholicsportsradio.net or .com. They'll both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free Catholic Sports Radio e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. Social media for this show is as follows: Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. Additionally, the Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group, whose members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that's immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net. Join us in there. Some fun and some exclusive content in that Facebook group. I really enjoy hearing from listeners, social media, as well as the website. I'll give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through Bruce at catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. We often hear about a young player, a rookie, who will follow a veteran player around to try to learn as much as they can from them. The implication is that almost by osmosis, some of the wisdom and experience will trickle down to the newbie. Here in Tampa Bay, we heard this past NFL season about rookie running back Bucky Irving getting to the facility early in the morning to learn from 86-year-old senior offensive assistant Tom Moore. The attempts to tap into all those years of football knowledge is commendable, to be sure, but certainly there's a camaraderie that develops during all that time together, too. In our walk with the Lord, we see the same fruits. In the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 tells us, quote, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest competed for 4 years in track and field in high school and present day is a coach of an evangelical nature. He is the founder of Holy Family Evangelization, a Catholic coaching organization, and he is the author of a brand new book just being released called How to Evangelize Anyone, which is a complete reversal for someone who was an atheist. He has evangelized at universities, Fortune 500 companies, and various nonprofits in the U.S., Latin America, and Asia. He has also advised numerous organizations and parishes on evangelization and catechesis. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Jose Pulido.
Thank you so much, Bruce. Very excited to be here.
Likewise, Jose, thank you. And your story begins right from birth, because share with the audience where you were born as well as what the family size was.
Absolutely. I was born in Colombia, Bogota, and was mom, dad, brother, sister, and myself.
Meaning in that order, you were the youngest?
Yeah, that's right.
So as I mentioned in the intro, by no means are you a cradle Catholic, I'm guessing. There was no religion being practiced in the household when you were a young boy?
It was a very, very tepid cultural Catholicism. And then at one point, I very much became atheist agnostic.
So when and why did you come to the United States?
there were some changes in my household, and it just made sense for my brother, my mom, and I to move to New York City. That was around 1996.
So you were what age at that time?
I was 7 years old.
Okay, okay. So then you competed in track and field in high school. Where were you attending and participating on that team over those 4 years? And for that matter, what drew you to that sport?
Yeah, track and field is just one of those sports where perseverance is very much rewarded, right? It's just basically you racing against your pastime, right?
Mm.
And I'm someone that where perseverance is sort of one of my values from an early age. So it was a sport that I could really just go into. I did the 1600, the 3200. Of course, I also did cross country. And I did that in New York City, Townsend Harris High School. Go Hawks.
So let's dive right into your conversion story. When and why did you go from being an atheist to becoming Catholic?
Yeah. That really is the problem of pain being overcome by logic and love, right? Because I became an atheist because I couldn't quite grapple with the problem of pain. How does one deal with the fact that there's a suffering world? And I decided, you know what, just things don't quite make sense. So why would there be a God? But there were certain answers to questions that I couldn't ignore. Like, could something come from nothing? And that answer is quite obvious, right? So I like to joke that I came back to the church kicking and screaming, you know, like the logic brought me back, but I wasn't happy about it. So though I was in the church logically, I wasn't there emotionally. And then over the course of a year, 2011, I really drew closer to the Eucharist, the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, and then all three together in the form of the Holy Family.
And this was all happening still in New York?
That by 2011, I was in college in Washington, D.C. You know, I'm very contrarian in some ways, and the funniest way is that I found my faith in college. You know, if you ask Curtis Martin or other people that do campus ministry, they might say around like 90 to 95% of Catholics lose their faith in college, right?
Mm.
And, you know, around freshman, sophomore year, that's when the logic brought me full force into the Catholic Church, but emotionally I wasn't quite there yet. And then it was at the Newman Center with Father Greg Schaefer and a focused missionary, Bryce Garber, and another one, Dan Grisano, where just my heart started to beat. And it's really important to both have like a logical context for the faith as well as a personal experience of the faith. I think that's what keeps people in over the long term. So Father Greg Schaefer, he's the one that sort of like helped me develop a connection to the Eucharist. I've heard it a million times before that the Eucharist is the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, I've never really quite heard a priest say it until he did. And, you know, there's just something about the power of a priest, right? Like he proclaimed something that was true. And that proclamation had an effect on me, right? And then this missionary, Bryce Garber, I was talking with him. I was sharing with him some hesitations about devotion to the Blessed Mother. And he just told me something I'll never forget. He said, you know, you'll never love her as much as Jesus does.
Wow.
You know, and I thought, oh, well, there you go. And it was both a logical statement that had emotional impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that really resonated with me. And then again, Father Greg Schaefer, he mentioned I was discerning between priesthood and family life, or, you know, just things that 22-year-old might think about, right, in the Newman Center. And he said, why don't you do this novena to St. Joseph? And that's where I fell in love with St. Joseph. I logically loved and emotionally loved each of these three as individuals. But it was December 24, 2011, where I had a really profound experience with the Holy Family of Nazareth. And that experience really changed how I approached Catholicism, and is a major reason why I evangelized the way I do and certainly influenced the book I just wrote.
So what was that experience on December 24th, and where did it take place?
Yes, it was in the Gothic Cathedral of Barcelona. The context was, in my culture, it's very important to celebrate Christmas with family. And for a number of reasons, I couldn't celebrate it with my family, so I was going to Christmas midnight mass by myself. So I was feeling quite severed. And in Barcelona, they speak a different type of Spanish. Like, I could only understand every 10th word. So I was sort of feeling really defeated and isolated. And I could very, very clearly feel the devil's gloating. Like, see, I've destroyed your family. You're never going to have a great family. You know, this is it. And I felt like the cross really pressing on me. And at that point, the only sort of escape I had was to orient my heart towards God. And at that point, I really felt strongly the presence of the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. And she explained that, you know, I've always been part of the perfect family because I'm part of the Holy Family. And, you know, just pausing there a little bit, it's for listeners who might think this is like, if you believe you're a son or daughter of the Blessed Mother, right? As I hope well-catechized Catholics believe, right? And if you believe you're a member of the body of Christ, as baptism does do that, right? And that Jesus is still the foster son of St. Joseph, you know, there you go. There's the logical proof, right? So that picked me back up, right, from like, you know, the cliff.
Yeah.
And then I felt really weak, to put it plainly. Like the collection basket was coming around and I had like 2 euro coins or whatever. And then the devil came back in and said, you know, you can't even give more than 2 coins.
Mm.
Who cares that you're a member of the Holy Family? You can't love them. You have all this sin.
Oh my gosh.
And then I felt crushed again. And then, you know, it worked last time, so I'll do it again. Orient my heart towards the Lord, towards God. And then Mary and Joseph explained to me that as a member, right, I have an inheritance. You know, because, you know, St. Joseph and Mary have a great deal of graces they receive from the Lord. So if I needed anything from the treasure trove of grace, like, I can inherit it through them, like, same-second delivery. And that's important because it's not, I didn't just need to be in the perfect family and to feel that love. I also needed to know that I could give love, that I could be strong, that I could also win. You know, like, nobody wants to be part of an all-star team and be the worst player. So then I felt alive again. And then, you know, throughout this time, it was kind of an emotional experience.
Yeah.
I did not look very good because of the tears and stuff. And, you know, the devil came in again and was like, listen, you've never really belonged at a parish or anything.
Boy, oh boy.
It's always been a struggle. So you may be in the Holy Family, you may be able to love them, but the church certainly won't love you.
Wow.
And then I oriented my heart against God. And then Our Lady shared with me, like, you know, just give the church a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sign of peace came, and this very brave woman shook my hand anyways. And there was this really great, the sign of peace moment is really important, right? While I was going through that. Then finally, Satan just stopped being there.
Amazing.
I felt called to receive the Eucharist. And, you know, when our Lord and John says, I am in God and God is in me, etc., right? So I felt the Eucharist in me, like the love of the Trinity within me and the love of the Holy Family outside of me. And then this sort of experience really, like, put everything right side up for me because, for example, I see my parents very differently now. Like, we're human, and that comes with, you know, kerfuffles and disagreements. But now I very clearly understand that I feel the love of St. Joseph when I am in right relationship with my father.
Wow, fantastic, fantastic.
And the same for the Blessed Mother. Like, I feel, you know, the Blessed Mother's love when I'm in right relationship with my mother. And then the inverse is true, right? Like, I feel closer to my mom and my dad when I understand St. Joseph and the Blessed Mother more. And some people might be hearing this. It's like, oh, but you don't understand. My mom is this. My dad is this. Right? And it's like, yes, like, they're earthen vessels, and maybe they committed some horribly egregious things, right? And at the same time, it's that man, right, has a particular quality, you know, fatherhood, and that particular lady has a particular quality, motherhood.
Yeah.
So that you will get closer to St. Joseph, the Blessed Mother, this way and the other way. So long story short, the Holy Family really does clear things up a lot, and I try to evangelize that way. It's, I would say, very effective to share with people that they can be loved, that they can belong, and then share with people that they can love, that they can succeed, and share with people that taking a risk on the church is one that, you know, will result in rewards.
Yeah, and in a minute, we're going to talk about your new book that's just being released, but this is amazing. The book is being made available in any quantity for only $1 each, and this is permanent, not a promotional period. Jose, why that approach? Most published authors would say, I've got to make money off this. I put a lot of time and work into this book. We need to price it accordingly.
There's a number of reasons. The first is the Mary Foundation is just a wonderful publisher. They are all about evangelization, sharing the faith, spiritual warfare. And if you look at just how things are right now with us losing, you know, 90% of a generation by the time they reach 23, you know, we got to go all hands on deck. This isn't like a nice thing for the church to do. This is an essential thing for the church to do.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to high school, something that really formed me was all of us at Townsend Harris High School had to take something called the Ephebic Oath. And it basically details what a good citizen of a city is. It's from Athens. And the last line profoundly impacted me, and it might resonate with you, Bruce. I shall not leave my city any less, but rather greater than I found it.
Mm.
And as a Catholic, it's this, like, I shall not leave my church any less, but rather greater than I found it.
Yeah. And how can you do that if you're putting profit from the book before helping people?
Right. And then also just the crisis of evangelization we're facing, right? Can I look at a young child, like a young Catholic child who loves, right? Like a, let's say a 4-year-old. And honestly say, I'm not leaving my church any less, but rather greater than I found it. And in the same breath say, I'm not doing anything to bring back the 90% that have left.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
It's like saying you would laugh at a head coach who says that their primary responsibility in leading this team to victory is ensuring that the cafeteria is well stocked. Not doing the job.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm laughing, but that is a great comparison. That's a great comparison. And folks, at the very, very start of today's show, I said that I have a giveaway. That's right. You can probably guess what it is. And I have Jose to thank for this. He has been kind enough to make a copy of his book available for free for one lucky listener of this show. To enter to win, email me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on February 28th. And put book giveaway as your subject line, and then simply tell me in your email that you want to be entered to win a copy of Jose's book. The full title of the book is How to Evangelize Anyone, Proven Skills and Techniques That Make Bringing the Faith to Others Easy and Enjoyable. I will contact the winner that weekend, March 1st, 2nd, via email, and by entering, you agree to let me publicize your first name as well as what state you live in. So I might just say, John from New York won the book. Again, send that email to me right away through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. I'm glad to be able to offer that to one lucky winner. I'm glad to be able to talk to Jose. I'm glad to still be hosting this show more than 6 years in, all thanks to God for calling me to this ministry. I still find myself telling people the story of first conceptualizing this show in the latter part of 2018 and my wife saying, "So I'm going to see you less," which was followed by, "Are you going to make any money from doing this?" Gulp. I explained to her that it was a calling and that no, I would be doing it for the kingdom, not to make money. That was a genuine, a pure thought, but looking back, I could have been better prepared and done some more comprehensive planning because there are costs that come with operating this ministry on and off the air. And since I do not get any income from doing this, I have to try to somehow find a way out of my own pocket to cover those expenses. That said, there have been guests and listeners who have stepped up to help share in those costs by way of a financial gift to Catholic Sports Radio. You can do the same by utilizing the blue Donate to CSR button that's on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net, which is fast, easy, and secure, and will allow you to use a credit card, debit card, or even PayPal to electronically send in a contribution. Alternatively, since I know some people don't like putting payment information on the internet, you can get in touch with me through social media, the website, or email for details on sending a check through the mail. Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net is how you can write to me. And then regardless of which method you use, the blue Donate to CSR button on the website or mailing me a check, with your permission, I will happily say your name on the air on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, as you've heard me do in the past when a guest or a listener sends in a contribution. Or as some people have instructed me to do, you can ask to remain anonymous. I'm grateful for your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to move more people closer to Christ through the mix of faith and sports. Jose, before all that, you were telling us about your new book being available for just a dollar per copy. But let's get into some of the actual lessons in the book. In sports, we hear about a playbook. Do you see your book being something that coaches can utilize so that they can share with their players about the Lord? But I'm also going to throw you a curveball and say, if you do, how do you recommend that they deal with players on their team that don't want to hear about God?
Absolutely, yeah. The twofold question, right, is can coaches use this to share the Lord with the athletes, right?
Yep.
And it's like, absolutely, because this book is designed in a style of contemplation and practice. So it's like, here's some information regarding scripture that will help us see some beauty, some truth, the life. And then here's some practice, as in here's how we might use certain communication skills to explore the topic. And then this even also helps the players who are hesitant to discuss faith or maybe don't want to discuss it at all.
Yeah.
Because the communication skills are designed for you to share what you're honestly thinking and feeling.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's an essential part of evangelization, actually. That's where the virtue of courage and fortitude come in.
Mm.
Evangelization isn't about sort of like turning on YouTube and finding the video that you like to hear. Repentance. Evangelization is you're talking to another human being that has a different experience of the faith or of life and hearing the pushback and knowing deftly how to navigate it to share the faith in a mutually life-giving way. So always respect people's like agency, especially regarding belief. That said, this book can be really helpful for helping teams draw closer together because they'll learn these skills to talk about something important, even in disagreement.
Yeah, in your book, there is a chapter called Learning the When Statement. And one of the examples you ultimately lead the reader to is, when I play soccer, I feel excitement because it reminds me of my childhood friends, end quote. Since this is a sports show, I like that particular example. So, Jose, just briefly walk the audience through what you are teaching them to do in that chapter.
Well, we're teaching folks to do is to express their ideas as completely as possible. And to completely express an idea, we need to describe emotion, values, reason, and the tangible thing that keeps them all together, right? So playing soccer is a tangible thing. You can take a photo of it. You can videotape it, right? And it's like you feel excitement or you feel nostalgia, right? That's the emotion. and it's because it reminds me of my friends or reminds me of my childhood. That's the logic or the values.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're sharing the faith, it's important that we start with love and end with love. And what that means is if you can just, within your own self, within your own contemplation and thoughts, find that you really care about someone and that you also care about yourself and that you certainly love God, then you'd be willing to talk about things as beautifully and as true as possible. And then it becomes more easy to then talk about stuff from a values perspective, reason perspective, emotion perspective, etc. And then these communication tools become very useful in doing so. It's not to say that if you don't use this, it'll never work. It's more to say it helps to have a really powerful intro statement to something, to really catch people's attention and to also demonstrate that you care about them. If we lead with two or three paragraphs, right, of, you know, dry theology, they don't know whether we care about them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But if we start off with, like, this is my experience and this is my reason, this is my values and how they connect to the faith, it's like, oh, that's interesting. And then follow up with the theology, that's a far more productive conversation.
Yeah.
In this show, right, like, whether you're talking to coaches or just really anybody in a mentorship position, one of the easiest traps to fall into is saying, essentially, do this because I told you to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're talking to an athlete, let's say in track, right, and if a coach were to have told me something like, hey, Jose, when I think about your stride, I feel concerned because you're going to get tired by the 400-meter mark.
Mm.
Boom.
Yeah.
And then, hey, Jose, when you kept that pace by the 800-meter mark, I felt hope and excitement because you're going to break this certain, you know, time by the end of the week, probably.
Yeah, that's well-constructed, and it's very different, as you said, than do it this way because I said so.
Exactly. And I know that some people might be concerned about coddling people or whatever. It's just about the right words, fewer words lead to more impact.
Mm.
Most people like to know a reason or the emotional impact or the value impact. And then that has a huge effect. So you could use it on the field. You could use it in the church. It's all terrain.
I wonder, though, what do you say to people whose attitude is, I love the Lord, but I'm not going to evangelize. That's the priest's job.
I mean, I need to stay with congruency, right? And that's, if they feel that's the faith, right, they're certainly entitled to their own opinion. Now, I think objectively speaking, I feel concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Because evangelization is more traditional than Latin. Like, look at Matthew 28 as one of my favorite lines in scripture. This is the last five lines of Matthew, right? The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had ordered them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Isn't that wild, Bruce? They worshiped, but they doubted.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Let's see how our Lord resolves that in the last three lines of Matthew. Then Jesus approached and said to them, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. You know? If we're concerned about a lack of faith in our church, you know, if we're concerned about having a Matthew 28:17 church, when they saw him in the Eucharist, they worshiped, but they doubted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Lord gives us a very simple solution to that. Evangelization is actually the solution to the lack of faith.
I agree, and I think that if someone's attitude is that's the priest's job, the priest can't do everything by himself. That's why there's deacons. That's why there's altar servers. That's why there's, and the list goes on. And so we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and we have to be priests. By our baptism, we are, and so we can go out and evangelize. And I want you to give another example here, Jose, as we get ready to wrap this up. We always finish with a prayer every week. But before I do that, let's first have you close out our conversation by explaining the litany of gratitude prayer exercise that you present in your book.
Yeah, absolutely. The idea is, so much of successful evangelization is to see the other person as God might, as the members of the Holy Family might. If you think about the Blessed Mother and you were to ask her in prayer, Blessed Mother, how many of your children would you want to come back to church, right? What would she say? She would say all of them.
All of them,
right?
Yeah.
Now, would she say that about like if she saw them as like really horrible people? Like, I don't believe that's how she views people. You know, if she were to be looking at someone who's struggling with sin, she might look at the real person within them.
Mm.
You know, that person that likes drinking a warm glass of milk every now and again and likes to research, you know, certain history at night and, you know, has all of these redeeming qualities. That's what makes this person really interesting to bring back to the church, right? They're good inside. So the litany of gratitude is, you know, just what do I see in this other person so that I can then start with love and end with love.
Mm.
If I categorize someone by their faults, then you're going to treat them very differently, right? If you categorize someone by their successes, you're going to treat them very differently, right? Someone that criticizes the church, maybe you won't want to talk about church with them. But if that same person is always there for your grandchild and is always trying to be a good dad or a good mom, then you might talk to them about fatherhood and motherhood. And you know what? That's like a hop, step, and a skip away from talking about the Blessed Mother of St. Joseph.
Yeah, wow. Wow, great lessons, as I knew there would be. And audience, I don't want to give away the whole book, but Jose has really, really given you some great, great insight as to what he has in there. And there will be a link on the show page for this episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net so that you can go over to the website where you can order the book. But Jose, congratulations on the new book. Thank you so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio. Really appreciate it.
For sure, Bruce. Anytime.
And audience, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer and pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.